and the law don't know when the sun goes down. They got the good stuff you can't find at the store, but you gotta know the knock, knock, knock on the door. Fire up your Friday, running full throttle, a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single $20 Bottle by multi-award winning country artist Quentin Blair here on Music's Journey, an up-tempo barn burner of a track displaying some exceptional musicianship and a good old boy having a good old time. This song was penned by Quentin and country star Jason Blaine. $20 Bottle is an upbeat story of a small town Friday night's moonshine, love, and country gold. The high intensity of this track is really cool, with the country's top drawer musicians woven together by the amazing producer Pete Lesperance. With heavy hooks that drive the song to the swelling fiddle, tell chase souls, this song is so much fun. Here to talk about his brand new single is country artist Quentin Blair. Mr. Quentin Blair.
Good morning. Wow. That is a clear sign of where my head went today. My apologies. My sincere apologies.
Not a problem. Not a problem. It is so good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for putting this all together and making it work.
You must have your ears burning. We've been talking about you, Bill Miller over at Sharp Nine, Pete Lesperance.
Yeah, what a team, hey? I love working with those guys. They're so great.
Oh, yeah, and what a killer tune. We're going to get into all of that. And, oh, man, you're killing it out there right now.
Thank you.
Tell us about the beginning part for you when it comes to your music journey, just for fans that may not know your music. And we're going to be playing three of the songs today, the live music, new music you got out right now.
Well, I think I live the life that a lot of, young kids growing up, you're kind of put into piano lessons, whether you liked it or not. And I played piano until I was old enough to, you know, maybe approach my mom and tell her, like, you know, I don't want to play, piano anymore. And I finally got to that stage when I was about 22 years old. And I'm joking, of course, I stopped playing piano probably early on into junior high. And I picked up the guitar after going to summer camp and, you know, seeing that I met this guy there, he played, and I'm like, man, I think I could get into that. And so I started, I mean, in high school, I mean, you don't really have a life yet. Of course, I played sports and I had jobs and all that kind of stuff, but I'd play guitar for about 3 hours a night. And I just fell in love with the instrument, started writing my own songs. And I've been kind of your country kid since day one. I used to, you know, listen to all the AM country. I think before we even had an FM station in Winnipeg, I was listening to the AM country stations. And, you know, it was just kind of that thing that was just such a part of me growing up. And it's naturally kind of transitioned over into, what I do now. And I'm so grateful for the time that I had to kind of develop and really pour into it. Because as you get older, like, if you're not kind of playing seriously by the time you're like 15, like, you can't pick up guitar at 25 and really kind of get there. I mean, I'm sure you can, but I guess just the way that my life is structured, it wouldn't be an option. So I put in those 10,000 hours when I was going to high school and able to, you know, put in the time then to get to where I am now, I guess. So yeah, writing songs has always just been a part of me. One of my good friends in high school, we just listened to two different catalogs of music, but we loved playing guitar together. So we just started writing songs instead of, you know, playing covers or learning all that other stuff. So that's kind of a big part of it. I guess maybe the other pinnacle moment was I was working at a ranch just outside of Winnipeg. And I overheard them talking one time, saying, "Hey, we need a singing cowboy who can entertain around our campfire at night."
Oh, so cool!
I can do that. And so, you know, I just sit around the campfire. We put on some cowboy coffee and roast marshmallows after they went for a moonlight ride, and I just take requests and I'd learn songs, and that's where I kind of put in a bunch of my hard miles on learning songs for people or trying to play songs. Hey, I kind of know that Vince Gill song. I bet you I can play it for you. And you kind of fight through it a little bit. And then you train your ear, right, at that point to listen to how country music is structured. So, sitting by a campfire or sitting in my bedroom, that's where my music came from.
Wow. That is my dream, is to sit there and go under the stars and just be on horseback. It's my calm place to be in the field with horses.
Well, it's so great that we're talking, because that's what it's like. It's this I feel the exact same way. Like, when I go into the woods, when I get out of cell range. It's such a interesting, two different parents, two different lines that I have to work, two different paths I walk in life. One of them is where I'm an entertainer and I'm on stage and I'm talking to people all night long and putting on a show. And then there's the next side of me that's like, wow, I just want to go into the woods for 5 days and I'll, see you folks later. So we take the horses into the woods all the time. And at the beginning of COVID, my partner Vanessa and I were out for a ride and she's like, we've got four kids between us. A bunch of them like to ride and we like to ride. And so we've got like eight horses on the yard. And Vanessa says, like, it's just a shame that no one comes and rides horses with us. And I said, well, it's COVID. What are we supposed to do? So we came up with this idea where we'd do these backcountry concerts where,
so cool.
We could be groups of five. Well, that'd be perfect. So it's like, small groups, mostly couples would come out celebrating an anniversary or a birthday or a milestone. And we'd go and we'd ride 2 hours into the woods, find a ridge that overlooks the Assiniboine River, watch the sun go down. And of course I got, backpack straps on my guitar case so I can pull out my guitar, pull out a bottle of wine and play songs literally in the middle of nowhere.
Boy, oh boy. Michelle Wright would absolutely love you right now. She did a special show where she took people to Africa to do exactly that.
Wow.
And I think it was like 10 people got to go on this special trip with her, and that's what they did at night. And it was just, I'm coming.
Yes, you let me know. I mean, it's honestly, it's one of those things that we do every night. I mean, we rodeoed in Carberry. It's a really, really small town in Manitoba. It's 42 degrees outside, just cooking hot. But sun goes down, it cools off a bit. You pull out your guitar and we sit around and just play songs. But funny because that's what fills my soul, though. Like, that's like to sit there under the stars and go, you know what? I think I'm going to play this old Keith Whitley tune. I don't think I've played this song for 5 years, and just pull it out and say, let's try it. And because nothing matters, right? You've got 20 people sitting around the campfire. Who cares if I miss a note or if I miss a chord? It's not the same pressure as when you're on stage and there's, a couple hundred, couple thousand people there. And you're like, you better get this right. Like, you put your best foot forward. You're a professional. Like, you got to nail that line and you got to nail that guitar part. And it's like, when you're sitting around the campfire, it's that's what fills jamming. My soul.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because it's not about perfection. It's like, this is what I want in this moment right now. And it's funny because there's all these like underlying tones to those types of events where, you give me the stage and a guitar, like the center stage of, as in everyone's focus and my guitar, and I'm going to go down roads that I'm going down with somebody in particular there. Mm-hmm. So, I'll play a couple songs for Vanessa that means something to us, mm-hmm. and no one else gets it, but it means something to us. Mm-hmm. Or I've got friends who, I've known them for 15 years. Well, here's a song that the first time they saw me play, they told me they liked it. And I'm going to play that song to them. They don't even know that I'm playing that song for them, but in my own kind of way, I'm like, that's what's filling my soul as a performer in this moment. Mm-hmm. There's no set list. There's nothing to worry about. It's let's just play.
Well,
and
so I love that. That's life. Those are the moments that people are going to remember, coming out for a trip like that. Because, let's face it, in the city and things like that, we just don't get to do that kind of thing, to unplug in a way where you're just surrounded by nature and you can hear a pin drop. And it's just amazing just to be there, to listen, to, just to be one with nature. And that's why I love being with horses, because I don't know what it is. I would just want to go to the field.
Yeah.
I need to be with the horses. And it was just an incredible feeling to see them coming running across the field the moment I got there.
Yeah.
And I can't put that into words to anybody. They'll say, oh yeah, but they're big. Aren't you scared? It's like, to me, it's like I brought a calm to them for some reason.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was a special connection between me and a horse. We just understood each other. And I'd spend my entire day out there and not want to come back in. Yeah.
Boy, can I relate.
I know you can.
Yeah. And it's those different moments in life, right? We all know what struggle is. We all have these emotional ups and downs that we go through. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was going through a difficult time about 5 years ago, and I found myself almost being I was sort of ultra sensitive, mm-hmm. just like country music could break me down in like one verse, and I'm like, why am I feeling like this right now? But it's just a result of like the emotion of what I was going through at the time.
We gravitate to songs, right? We gravitate to whatever we're going through in a moment, whether or not we're happy, whether we're sad, or we're going through, like you said, tough times. We gravitate to music instantly, and that's where our memories will lie in the future. You know, we'll see that snippet of time, and as soon as we hear just lyrics of a song or just the beginning, you know, few chords, we're going to remember exactly where we were in that exact moment.
Exactly. And I mean, it is music in general, but I find on a more direct level, it's country music in general, because country music, the tradition of country music is
huge,
the ability to invoke feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you can think of any of these old songs. I mean, I'm even thinking of, I mentioned Vince Gill already, but like, I can think at the beginning of this one song, and it's like, whenever you come around, like that song changed my life, right? Like, it's like, country music has that such a strong draw to it that I wouldn't say the same thing about like a CCR song, or shouldn't even necessarily pick on them. Like, you know, but like, I don't have that same connection to rock music or to pop music, because I've always been so deep into country music that it's like, that's, like,
there's so much
those
history.
Songs speak to me.
Yeah. There's so much history when it comes to country music. And it sounds like going out and doing, you know, these special, the backcountry concerts and things that you're doing with all of these people, you're learning so much when it comes to the history of country music and being able to play so many different types of songs and have that respect for the traditional sound and bring in all of that. And you're seeing all these young artists that are coming forward right now, bringing those traditional, you know, sounds into the modern songs that we're hearing today. It's just, there's such a blend, and it's just, it's always there. And there's a special place for everything.
I love what Pete did on $20 Bottle.
Oh yeah.
Because he took this idea. So I wrote that song with Jason Blaine when I was down in Tennessee, and it's kind of like, co-writes are great because there's a little bit of me and there's a little bit of someone else in the song, right? And so we write the song, and I loved writing with Jason because it, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it sounds like you've written 10,000 songs in your career because you've written 10,000 songs in your career, right? Like, he's so easy to write with, so easy going. We're talking about the story and then we're just riffing it and putting it down and it's coming together. And there's a couple times, like in that song, I referenced Keith Whitley, and he's like, are you sure you want to, you know, reference Keith Whitley in this moment? I'm like, yeah, I absolutely do, because that's actually a moment from my life. Vanessa and I were driving down a gravel road, and Don't Close Your Eyes came on. And I stopped the car, dragged her out, and we danced under the moon in the headlights of the car, shared this kind of magnificent moment, kind of just two people. This wasn't for anybody. This is just, you know,
for the
being in love kind
of
thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I get to Tennessee a few weeks later, and we're going, you know, Keith Whitley in the Full Moonlight, like, that's going to be the line in the song, because that's me. That was an exact moment that I went through. So but what I love about what Pete did on the track was, like, he took the song and he knows that, like, my wheelhouse is 90s country. I grew up in that era. That is such a hallmark era in the history of country music. It's an era that changed the way that we consume and participate in country music. Even thinking about, I mean, I was a huge Garth Brooks fan, but look at how his stage show changed country music. You know, and I mean, you still at the same point, you still get your Mark Chestnuts and your Randy Travis kind of thing through it, and whatever. So this whole songbook of the 90s country means so much to me. And I really feel that Pete captured that. And he's got this incredible ability to formulate melody. That's the thing that blew me away. But yeah, oh man, working with Pete, it's like, oh my goodness.
Different level.
the first time we were talking on the phone, he's like, I don't want to change who you are as an artist. I don't want to do anything but make the best music you've ever made. That's my goal. We're going to take your songs and we're just going to give it the best treatment that we can. We're going to find ways to just nuance it. And man, when I was getting those mixes back, I was just like, holy cow.
It's so darn good.
And the more that you listen to it, the more that you hear little things in the song, I'm like, holy cow. Like, I bet you your average listener doesn't even pick up on that. But
I know. I had to listen to it a few times and I was oh, I didn't hear that before. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you hear it back a few times, it just gets better and better. It's like so cool.
I had such a good time recording that tune, and that time spent in Toronto with Pete, and looking forward to doing a bunch more in the future here. And I'm so happy with the way the song has been received as well.
Oh, like, it's been really good. What does the song mean to you personally?
Well, it's kind of like, it's got that story specifically of me and Vanessa in it. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be a pretty accessible, fun song, right? Like it's not supposed to get too deep on you. It's just supposed to be, hey, this is a fun, small town, Saturday night kind of song. And so that's kind of where it is. But the band played it for the first time live. I guess our first show of the summer season was June 4th, whenever that was, but a couple of weeks back, and we played it. But you know, I've never had so many people at the show anticipating the song. Like it hit streaming services middle of May, it hit radio end of May. Like really, this song is like 2 weeks old in a lot of people's minds. And they're standing there calling for the song from the second we walked out on stage. And then
that's
when we
so
played
cool.
it, yeah, it's the best reception we've ever had to a song. And the band really captures the essence of it. And man, it's just such a fun
nice.
Song to play.
Nice. I love the story behind it. And that's what was special to me, because there's something really special about small town upbringing and that appreciation of life. And it's a different way, the way that you look at life, your appreciation for the land that you're on, and, you know, living there and just being surrounded by all of that. It's such a special little, again, can't put into words. I'm sure that you can.
We don't play big cities very often. Like we specialize in country fairs, rodeo dances, street dances.
Like
that's
intimate.
Where we live.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man. And I mean, and it's just, that's just where, like, I live on the farm, and I've got a cabin on 10,000 acres of crown land where I take my horses
and
we ride.
Killing me. You're
all this,
killing
like that's,
me.
But that's just my life. That is like, that is, I don't try to be anything that I'm not. If I say that I'm in, like, if I name drop or like work into a song something about horses, it's because that's my
that's
life.
Life.
And I'm not trying to pretend to be anything. I'm just like, that is me. And I love that I can play music and ride horses and then share that love with my daughter as well, who's 10 years old. And boy,
we're
going to
get into that.
You.
Man, can she ever. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the brand new single. It's $20 Bottle by multi-award winning country artist Quentin Blair here on Music's Journey.
There's a tin roof shack on the outskirts of town, and the law don't know when the sun goes down. They got the good stuff you can't find at the store, but you gotta know the knock, knock, knock on the door. Fire up your Friday, running full throttle, a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A giant of a man with a snow white beard, tell your son I've been cooking here for too many years. Out behind the barn in my moonshine still, if they ain't found me yet, they probably never will. It'll kick you like a mule, put a hitch in your hobble, a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. It'll get you swaying left, get you swaying right, makes you wanna love her, it makes you wanna fight. Every last call girl gets to looking like a model, a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. She was sipping on her gin. She grabbed me by the hand, pulled me out on the floor, and the next thing you know, we were out the back door. Dixie cup was sipping that shine in the dark. Solid country gold got her here in my arms. Swaying to the left, swaying to the right, so keep with me in the full moonlight. She said, you only live once, baby, that's my motto. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. In my
track, made a run in full throttle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. Get you sweating left, get you sweating right. Makes you wanna love, makes you wanna fight. Kicks you like a mule, put a hitch in your hobble. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. So fire up a Friday river running full throttle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle.
That was the brand new single $20 Bottle by my very special guest, country artist Quentin Blair. Quote, man, I love this one. Say it for me.
It'll kick you like a mule and put a hitch in your hobble. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle.
Love it. Love it. You say it much better than me.
Well, when Jason and I were writing it, it's all of a sudden we came across that line and we're going, okay, now we got something. You know, the song was kind of coming together, and you're like, kick you like a mule, and I said, put a hitch in your hobble. It's a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. Well, now we better finish this song because it's going to be a good one.
Don't forget you can download $20 Bottle on all your streaming platforms. Share it on all your playlists, and you can request it at your local country radio station. I'm telling you, on fire with this new single. Is there a video coming up for this one?
I guess we'll see. I've never been a video guy because I don't like to do, like, I like to be authentic. So I never like the lip syncing part of it. So that's just personally, I've always kind of shied away from it. But it's definitely been on my radar just to see this, the response that the song is getting.
Very, very cool. There is so much I want to talk to you about. Just let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process, because does the influence of being where you are, how you grew up, really push you to be more vulnerable when it comes to the songwriting like you are?
I think that is the case. I think the other part of it is that I end up writing, especially when I'm writing by myself, I write a lot of songs at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You're like me.
Yeah, I'm a late night writer, and it's a lot of times it's like sitting on my porch,
it's that
swing,
quietness, just, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to wake anybody else up, but I can't think of how many, probably hundreds of songs I've written on my front porch.
Just... It's hard to write an upbeat, you know, tempo when it's quiet like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I spend a lot of time doing that. And then I spend a lot of time, we've got two farms and then this cabin, and like all I do is drive. And I mean, with gas prices where they're at right now, it's really making me rethink things. But you know, I spend a lot of time in the truck as well. And so that's another time where I can bounce around ideas. And I don't typically write full songs when I'm doing that. But that's a lot of time where I'm going through the process and finding really good lines.
Nice.
So it's just that time when I'm kind of by myself and relaxed, and maybe I got the dogs with me or whatever, and just kind of like allow my brain to think on a deeper level. Yeah.
It's hard, you know, especially if you're running a business. And that requires so much attention, the booking and looking after the guests and being on the road pursuing your music career at the same time. How has that been for you to balance all of that?
Sometimes the business, like I feel that I run my business well, like, but sometimes the business of music is what bogs me down, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, it's one thing to go and play the show. It's the other thing to book the band, book the hotels, book the rehearsals, pick the set list, you know, try to get a vision as to what you're going to expect. And that's all the artist, or a lot of that is the artistry side of it. But then you're kind of going, okay, did I get the contract out? Did I collect the deposit? Did I, you know, update the invoice for them? Did I, you know, get the name spelt right on what the official name of the event is? And like, when you're kind of at that one man show on running the business, it's a lot of like day-to-day stuff that I'm just like, oh, I just want someone else to do that.
Time job.
Yeah. Oh, it's just ridiculous. And then, I mean, you know, there's just another part of like of business paperwork when you're, you know, just writing grants, or you're writing, you know, different professional, like it is an absolute job where you have to be able to communicate professionally, right? It's not just like, oh, I just, hey, I want to do this and I want to do that, I'm an artist. No, you actually have to think like a business owner when you're doing this. And
well, because like the record labels are looking for that turnkey.
Yeah.
When they bring an artist on board, and they want you to be able to handle every aspect, have the followers, have the branding, where you are hungry and believe in yourself, and you've handled all of that. Like it's a lot of work, and it's great when you finally get a team on board that allows you to be able to spend more time being the artist and, you know, concentrating on your writing and concentrating on those radio tours and, mm-hmm. and going out and playing that live music. It's really hard when you're independent. Very difficult.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. I won't share the artist's name, but I had lunch with an artist probably about, maybe it was 10 years ago. And he had some really, really great success on radio. And I loved his sound, and his writing was so fantastic. And I looked up to him, man. He was, if I could have an album that sounded like one artist, it would have been him. And, mm-hmm. and we're out for lunch, and he just looks at me and goes, I really envy you. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, you can do everything on your own. Mm-hmm. You can book your own shows. You can write your own songs. You can get, you know, coordinate studio time. You can produce songs. You can do all this kind of stuff just based on your skill set. Mm-hmm. And he's like, believe it or not, I can't do any of that.
I know.
I have to have a team. And if I don't have a team, I have nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting kind of mind shift to go, because a lot of times people are like, well, they want to define your success based on if they know your name or how many people know your name. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I've never pretended to be Brad Paisley. I've never wanted to be mm-hmm. at that level. Like, I'm not even in Canada. Like, I'm not necessarily trying to be anybody that I'm not. I love being from Manitoba. I play 70 shows a year in Manitoba, for the most part in Manitoba. We'll play across the prairies as well, but for the most part that's our major footprint, and I am completely happy with where my career is at and what's happening in it. And it's like, sometimes you take that for granted when you're like, oh, I just wish I had this person doing that, or I wish I had, you know, an agent who was booking me all these shows and stuff like that. I'm like, it'd be great, for sure I'd take it, you know, if mm-hmm. that opportunity came available. But there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing on my own either.
That's amazing. I mean, you're looking at somebody like Jamie Warren. Yeah. He's one of the most awarded Canadian country acts, and he's been an independent artist all these years.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, when you're doing what you love, and you're writing because you love it, you're playing because you love it, you're in control of all of that. It's, you know, it's pretty amazing, you know, the kind of life that you have right now.
It doesn't hurt to write a song like If I Could Take One Step Back, though.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I just heard that song the other day, and I'm like, how come I've never played that song? That song's been on my learn list, like, to send out to the band for years. It's such a great song.
I know.
If I could take one step back. Man.
I know. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So many hits, I'm telling you. Just can't even count them all. There's just so many. What's the one thing that you learned going through this pandemic? I know that you've been able to do these shows and stuff, but just for you personally.
I realized how much I like being at home. Mm. And that's the hardest part, even for my daughter, who comes on stage with me all the time. She comes to shows. She's growing up being a musician's daughter, but loving it. But it's starting to interfere with some of her horse things. Oh. And she likes to, you know, like, she'd love to just, she doesn't compete heavily in everything. She just loves horses, though. And she's like, she said to me the other day, and I mean, we're only not even a month back into playing shows every weekend. And she's like, oh, I really liked it when we didn't have shows all the time.
Oh.
And it's kind of going, hard. That is hard to hear.
Pulling at the heartstrings.
I know. But at the same point, like, that being said, like, she's singing with me on Saturday night and she can't wait. Like, so it's not like she's like not enjoying it. She just likes doing this other stuff. And I spent a lot of time in my career too, where I didn't like being at home. So it's, you know,
full
it's
circle.
Like, yeah. So it's always like, it's a weird situation to be in, where it's like, man, I really like my life. I really like being at home. I find a lot of peace there, and, you know, we're so doing stuff. And so, yeah, so there's one thing I learned. It's like, you know what, let's find a way. And that's the whole thing about where this guiding and backcountry concert stuff came from, because it's a way to marry horses, family, and music together.
Mm-hmm. I hear you on that. I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do that.
Really, this whole thing was kind of funny, because we're a blended family, and so Vanessa's got three kids, I've got one, and she's got a daughter named Brooke, and of course I have a daughter named Brooke, and those are the two girls that love to ride. And so you go somewhere and they're like, people look at you like, this is our daughter Brooke and this is our other daughter Brooke. And she's like, ah, we just like the name. We just like the name. And everyone's like, what's going on? But yeah, it's fun that that they get to kind of be a part and do all that kind of stuff. But like, the whole point of these backcountry concerts was, number one, it allowed us to be COVID compliant and still play shows. Mm-hmm. But the girls love it so much that we just continue to develop it, going, you know, one day this will be your summer job. You're just going to ride horses, meet people, look after them, cook for them around the fire, and teach them how to camp. And then we're going to play songs.
Are you going to hire me?
Yeah. You'll have to talk to one of the Brooks.
I know. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, it's when you look at life, and I think so many of the artists realize how busy they were, and most of the time they're on these stages, they're back in the bus, and it's just a grind, and it takes them, like Pete used to talk about this, it would take a couple of months just to unplug, and you just don't want to deal with anything, even at home. When you get back, because you're just so mentally exhausted, just being on and on and on. And it's just a different mental game that is so difficult. And that's why we've had so much mental illness issues, you know, when it comes to, you know, artists and musicians, mm-hmm. and things that have gone on. But when they strip it back after, you know, this, and dealing with this pandemic that we're still, you know, in right now, but at least things are opened up, but it's just stepping away from that noise. Shutting off the noise. It was deafening for so many of them. They didn't even know what to do. Didn't even know how to function. And then once they've had that time, they realized, man, I love the quiet. I love that peace that they've just never been allowed to have, because they're constantly in writing. Like, you guys are out performing, like you're right now, you're out performing the song that you wrote a while ago. And you've got new music that's coming out. It's just like there's just this constant radio tour, the writing and the recording, and then you're out on tour again. And it's just a constant ongoing process.
And you're always on, and you're always trying to meet people, and you want people to like you. You want to be their friend. And
but you forget, you know, yourself along the way, you know?
Well, when I was down writing $20 Bottle with Jason, I also got a chance to write with Dwayve Thompson.
Oh, nice.
When I was down there. So Dwayve and I were writing, and the song that we came up with was a song called Burn Another Sunset. And really what that song talks about is, you know, we only get so many sunsets, right? Yes. No one can define, like, no one knows that. So don't burn one. Don't waste one.
Oh, I love that.
Do what
that.
You need to do. So it comes to the point of, like, own your sunset. Mm-hmm. If you get 10 more, you make sure that those are the best 10 sunsets that you get. Don't worry about wasting one being angry. Don't put yourself in a position where, you know, you're missing out on stuff that means something to you because of it. So it came from sitting on the ridge, watching the sun go down, playing these backcountry concerts. And then I just kind of one time was like, man, I don't want to burn another sunset. That's mm-hmm. where I want to be. So when you own your sunset, you go, wow, I want to find a way to have horses. I want to write and put out good country music. I want to play music and be with my family. That's my sunset. So you own it and just go and make that your reality. So that's kind of the way that my brain just works right now. Is like, mm-hmm. I see the sunset that I want to make sure that's what I'm chasing. I'm not chasing a dollar. I'm not chasing fame. I'm not chasing anything else. That's what I want.
I know, like, I completely 100% agree in every aspect that you just spoke about, because that would be exactly what I'd want to do with the rest of my time, mm-hmm. is doing exactly what you're doing right now. I've also been in this entertainment, you know, for over 30 years, and I want to be able to marry what I love when it comes to wildlife photography and just being in the outdoors. That is my calm, being out there fishing, just, you know, being able to be out there in nature, be with the horses. I went to school last year just on a whim and decided I was going to go and take my my prerequisite and get my certificate working with horses, massaging horses, and awesome. Being able to do the just doing the sports massage, as well as just fixing anything that's wrong with them, you know, when it comes to their...
Oh, that's so key.
Yeah, yep. And there's... That's a... a really heavy course.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of muscles and a lot of bone structure you got to learn and know.
Yeah, so just doing the alignments and just being a part of that. And I thought, you know what? It's going to come in handy because this is something I really want to do. And just combine everything. But oh, gosh, I would love to be right where you are right now. I you couldn't give me anything in this world that would replace something like you have right now.
Well, next time you're in the prairies, you let me know.
We
have it hooked up for you.
Yeah, that is just awesome. That is such a cool business, and just a way to be with your kids, just to be there in life, present in life. And I think that's absolutely the only way to say it, right?
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, 100%. What has it meant to you to win 2015, 16, 18, and then 17 also the Male Artist of the Year as well? You have won so many awards right now to get four. So what does that mean to you?
You know, it's just kind of it's a stamp of affirmation from your peers going, we appreciate what you do. And, you know, I typically find myself in that roots category, I think, because of who I am as a person and how that just translates into my music. And, you know, doing the backcountry concerts, and I mean, that all kind of fits into the same thing that I've been doing since I was hosting campfire concerts at Miracle Ranch 15 years ago or whatever, probably longer than that.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just kind of like it's just an affirmation from your peers to go, hey, we think you're doing something well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that wise people always tell you when you win an award, you can't eat an award. Right. So it just is meant for what it is, but it doesn't change anything in your life by any stretch. So
Absolutely.
And that's how I take it. And it's an honor that people would think to vote for me on that regard. And nice. So thank you for voting for and kind of putting it there. And, you know, it just kind of puts a little feather in your cap kind of thing. But I don't let it get too far above that. I'm just glad that, you know, people recognize it and appreciate it.
Man, you're grounded. It's very cool. It's very cool because it's hard to come by. I'm telling you.
I don't even know how to answer that question.
What advice would you give younger artists that are starting out right now with everything that you've learned in your career so far?
Oh, you know what? When you're a young artist, and this would have been like, you know, if you were looking 10, 15 years ago, when you're first starting to play shows, and I can't believe that I've been playing music for that long, but whatever, here we are. But I'd always see, like, you'd be on Facebook because that was all we had at the time, and you're like, oh, so-and-so's out on the road, and so-and-so's doing this, and so-and-so. And you all of a sudden go, well, then I should be doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know if it'd be a fear of missing out or a fear of trying to keep up with what other people are doing on social media. Like, that was toxic for me.
Mm.
But it was only later on, like now in my career, I'm like, I could care less who's posting about shows on social media. Like, good for you. I'm happy for you. Go see the show. But I don't feel like, well, so-and-so played in Calgary. Now I got to drive to Calgary so I could play that show too. Like, I don't feel that. But I think as a young artist, I guess I'm at that stage of my career where I do have other artists reach out, and I'm a very accessible kind of guy. And that's kind of the big thing that I'm sharing, because it even comes up in conversation with them, and they're like, well, how does this guy get all these shows? Or and you can get so embittered about it. I'm like, guys, like, that is not a part of playing music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go be you, you play the shows that you get, and you be happy with how things are going, but don't judge what someone else is doing and try to bring that as to what you need. But like, some of my best friends in music would be like, you know, Del Barber, he's kind of a folk singer from Inglis, Manitoba, or Blake Berglund was in Regina, and Zach Lucky's in Orillia now. And those kind of the cowboy hat kind of folk singers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys that I used to just always look up to and go like, hey, I want to be on the road like they are right now. And then you've even got your, you know, Coulter Walls, Ridley Bentz, Corb Lunds, that kind of stuff too, who I also looked up to. But I mean, they're out there and you're like, man, look at how many posts this guy has. I got to get better at putting posts up. How come he likes the worst trap you can fall into? And as an artist is like that, needing that affirmation from people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I don't care. I mean, I do care, but that's why it doesn't you know, change my attitude if somebody says,
hey, to the awards and stuff.
Yeah, you're going to win another, you win this award, or you win that award, or you're going to get this opportunity. Your song's played in Europe, or, you know, this song's, you know, doing so much for me. Like, great. I hold my music career with an open hand and go, hey, here's a song. Let's see what happens with it. I'm not holding it onto it too tight, and I'm also just not going to drop it and let nothing happen. I'm just going to hold it there, see what happens.
And that's where I think so much of the pressure comes from that artists put on themselves, because they're always trying to compare themselves to somebody else. And it is the worst thing you could possibly do. You can't find your own identity. You can't keep yourself. And the whole reason you got into music to begin with, you can't keep that in your reins if that's what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
And they make that mistake so often. And then you hear so many of the bigger artists that hit those big stages, and they'll say, you know, their favorite moments are those very tiny little 200 people, you know, or 50 people. Those are the ones that they love to play because it's intimate. They get to hear the stories. They get to connect on a different level. They miss those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a place for those big stadiums. There's a place, you know, a lot of the bands that I interviewed in the last month, I guess, that have been doing this for 20 plus years will say that they've cut their shows right down. They love just doing 38 shows or 40 shows a year, and they've got time at home, and they're at that stage where they, you know, they're able still to write and still produce and still do other things with other artists, but they just love to be at home now. And they are so happy. They're not in that massive struggle to get over across the border. They are more than happy to put out the music they do, and the fans love them. So
I agree with that sentiment 100%. And that's probably what's changed in my mindset as a result of COVID. And I just found a way to adapt and make music be what I want it to be for me.
Oh, you're in a really good place right now, my friend. Really good place. Really good place. That was, I think, was it the film? I'm trying to remember. 2001, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Am I right?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah. And that reminded me so much of just seeing what you did with that song. So many of the fans know it, but it's really hard for them to sing it. But it's just what you did with this song was so cool. Tell us about that.
Well, that song, I mean, it was written by Dick Burnett, and then it's like an American folk song. There's a bunch of different versions of it. Ralph Stanley was kind of the one who made it famous. And then, of course, it kind of had a new generation exposed to it with the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack, which was a great soundtrack. But it's a funny song because there's no chorus. And everyone's like, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen, and no one could sing after that. They just know the first line. It's such a funny song in that regard. But I think in that there's a freedom to kind of like expose musicianship at that point. And so, you know, I love that, you know, my longtime fiddle player, Brenton Thorvaldsen, he's now out with Tim and the Glory Boys all the time. So I think he's only got two or three dates with me this summer because they're just so busy. But you know, to go out and have him play his tracks, that was a weird song because Dwayve produced that song, but it was a cross-border song because it was during COVID and I couldn't travel down to work with him, and so I had to stay up in Manitoba, and I recorded all my parts from, you know, my home studio, and I'd ship them down there, and then he'd work on it, ship them back up, and I'd change some things and ship it back down, and we went back and forth with it. It was just amazing to see how, you know, modern, you know, recording happens. And that's what Pete and I did too on this other track, right? We shipped the song all over the country to have people play on it, and it's mind-blowing, and it's neat. And when Pete and I were doing that, I was able to be in the control room when the takes would come in.
So cool.
We'd jump on a Zoom call. We quickly go, hey, yeah, I like that part. Or, you know, change the bass line to do this. You know, and it's like, I was right there to be a part of it. So, when Dwayve and I did Man of Constant Sorrow, it was a lot of, you know, hey, I'll make a voice note on my phone and I'll send it down to you. And then we'll, you know, go and do some actual tracking. And then it was very interesting process only because of the distance. So I don't know that I particularly enjoyed it as much only because of the distance, right? You're not feeling so there on the same page. And I mean, like I said, I like trusting my producer to deliver something. And that's the magic on, you know, any of these songs, is just letting the producer do their part on it. My part on it is actually pretty small after I've written the song, and I obviously didn't write Man of Constant Sorrow, but my part is kind of just sing it the best that you can until you get it the way they want it to be, and they're doing everything else. And so, you know, just these guys have great ears and great ability to do it. And that song is such it just kind of hits like a Man of Constant Sorrow. When that song starts, it's just like, boom, there it is. And in much the same way that $20 Bottle is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're kind of similar songs in that regard, with just lots of musicianship, lots of tasty playing, and lots of kind of like signature sounds. I mean, being from Manitoba, I mean, you got to know how to play a polka, and, you know, people love it when you can play Orange Blossom Special, and we got a fiddle player who can play it. And it's like, you know, I'll play 30 songs in a night, and then for the encore, we'll play Orange Blossom Special, and people are standing on their tables losing their minds on that
tradition
song.
Yep. It's amazing what tradition does. We're gonna play this one right now. Here is Man of Constant Sorrow by multi-award winning artist Quentin Blair here on Music's Journey.
In constant sorrow, constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. Play that fiddle for me, son.
That was Man of Constant Sorrow by country artist Quentin Blair. Don't forget you can download on all your streaming platforms and you can add it to your playlist. Don't forget you can also contact your local country radio station and request it. Tell us about your daughter and all of this country music that she knows. It's crazy.
My goodness. No, it is from a young age. I mean, I would sing songs to her like from a very early, well, before she could speak, I'd play guitar for her every night, and I'd sing, you know, If I Had a Boat from Lyle Lovett, and then I'd play some Ian Tyson, then I'd play some Neil Young or Gordon Lightfoot, and she just sort of started to pick up on these songs that I was playing for her. And now she's, you know, at this age where she's 10 years old, she's got her own Spotify account and she can explore music. But it is mind-blowing when she finds an artist and shows it to me. And so there's a fella down in Texas named John Wolfe, and he's got his Opry debut coming up. And she's like, listen to these songs, Dad. And she's not just like picking songs off of a playlist. She's deep diving into albums the way that music was supposed to be listened
to.
So it's just this great little thing.
That's so cool.
So she's always asking, hey, can we play Hound Dog on the weekend? I'm like, really? That's the song that you picked? I'm like, you know, like, and then she'll play like a John Prine tune, and then she'll play, you know, we'll sing Shenandoah together. And it's like, it's just interesting to see what her musical vocabulary is. And she has this keen ability to pick up lyrics. And I know that part of me playing music has such a huge part to do with the lack, like it's a gift. It's just something that's inside of me. I don't have to work hard at learning lyrics. Mm-hmm. So for me to play a song, it doesn't take, it's the same way that, you know, the great guitar players or the great instrumentalists don't have to hear a song a bunch of times to learn the song. Mm-hmm. They can pick it up really quick. For me, for whatever reason, it's lyrics and melody that just sticks in my brain. And my daughter's got that same ability. And so we did a Christmas show this past year where it was a play. There's a play happening, and then we were the soundtrack to the play, but we were using songs like Roger Miller and Merle Haggard. And that's what we were weaving into this story. And my daughter got to come on stage and sing Little Toy Trains.
Old Toy Trains.
So she got to sing that song on stage. So she sings it on the first night. And then she pulls me aside after the show. She's like, Daddy, one song isn't enough. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I have to sing more songs. And so the next day I'm like, fine. At sound check, we're tuning the PA, different venue. I'm like, you take sound check. And she literally ran the entire show saying every word, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how many 10-year-olds can sing 12 Christmas?
She only
like,
10?
Yeah, it's not even like, it's not like you're singing like Silver Bells or Frosty the Snowman. It's like, if we can make it through December, Song for a Winter's Night, Old Toy Trains, and just like Pretty Paper. And I'm like, not everybody.
I cannot wait to meet her.
Yeah. We've had a really, really wet spring, lots of storms. In fact, that's kind of been kind of a downer in Manitoba. We had a state of emergency in our local RM and fighting water in the basement. It's just one of those springs where I'm like, I just wish that it wasn't the way that it, but it, whatever. Mm. It is what it is. So we got this massive mud pit and the horses are on the other side of the mud pit. And I'm out there in my rubber boots and shorts and it must look like $1 million. And there's my daughter. And she's she's got her basketball shoes on. So she doesn't want to come through the mud. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll go do this chore over there. You just chill out and I'll be back right away. And in the 5 minutes that I was gone to basically close a gate, she'd written a song.
I was about to say, but she wrote a song, didn't she?
But the depth of the writing is just like, you sound like you're 45 years old. You've lived a life. If you're going to write these words, they are coming from someplace real deep. And so, And so, and then it's interesting too, because she's like, she kind of sings it back to me. And she's got elements of like Texas swing. And it's like, and I'm like, you've been listening to Lyle Lovett, haven't you? Because that's what you're hearing when you're putting this into the song. And the hook is going to be called like, We Ride in a Bench Truck. She loves those old two-tone single cab trucks.
Oh, isn't that
She points them out all the time. When I turn 16, I want one of those. I'm like, yeah, if you can afford the gas in it, you will. You know, it's like...
Keep writing songs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. A lot of them. But no, she's just got this uncanny ability. So it is funny that, wow. Yeah, I very quickly can see her taking over my band. And, you know, as it
sounds
is, like
she'll... like it. She's going to be ordering you around. She's going to be just like, I'm running the show now, Dad. I got it from here.
I'll be opening for her.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, I think she wants to play Hound Dog on Saturday night, and then she'll probably sing Next to You, Sitting Next to Me.
Oh, so cool. You gotta have somebody videotape it. I got to see this.
Yeah, well, and actually, she's been on stage with me. The first time she was on stage with me, she was probably 4 years old, 3 years old, maybe four. But she sang a song from Ian Tyson called The MC Horses. And it's a song about just this, the ranch was kind of shutting down. They were selling off all their horses. And we were playing in this real small town called Plum Coulee at their annual festival. And she came on stage and she sang the song with me. But there's one line in the song and it says, Banjo kicked his trailer apart when they tried to load him up for home. And it's kind of like, you know, that's the last stand of this horse. It's like, I'm not going home. I belong out here. And she cried when that line came on. Cause she's like, well,
why Daddy, are they doing that?
Yeah. Our horses aren't like that. And I said, well, we got to change the line. And I said, well, how about Frisco, which is one of her horses. I said, well, don't Frisco jumped in the trailer cause she loved her little girl. And so now when I sing the song, of course, I have to add that line into it. But that's so that she wouldn't cry when we were on stage singing the song together.
That is so cute. Well, you got to promise me a little clip.
Yeah,
I'd
absolutely.
Would absolutely love to see that. That kind of goes into the next song. Let's talk about Wild Horse Rider.
That song is, that's a funny song, actually.
I love this song.
I love that song, too. It's kind of a unique one for me. That's a song about a rodeo dance in Marchand, Manitoba, and it was this hot July night, and I met this guy for the first time. He'd been to a couple shows, never kind of sat down and chatted with him, but he was telling me all these stories about how he used to ride in the wild horse races at, you know, the Frontier Days or the Calgary Stampede, and kind of traveled the West riding these wild horses. But he's a guy that's like got so many plates in his leg from broken legs and broken ribs, and you know, when he runs, he kind of looks like a woodpeck trying to swim because it's just all of his limbs are kind of going there because it's just, you know, his leg is 2 inches longer than the other leg or whatever the kind of numbers are. So it's funny, he's telling me these stories. I don't know if I trust him yet, if these are actual stories. Turns out they are.
But
all of a sudden we're playing The Gambler by request at that show. And then out of nowhere, these guys are arm wrestling. So this guy who I met, and then he's arm wrestling with some of the town folk. Before you know it, there's a full-on brawl between cowboys from out of town and all the town folk. And there's like hats going everywhere. Shirts are being ripped open. And I'm looking around the stage like, you got to know when to hold them. No, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. So we just
playing.
We kept on playing. And then we played Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain and Till I Can Gain Control Again. And When You Say Nothing at All and Help Me Make It Through the Night. And just trying to like comp it. But for 20 minutes, it was just this crazy event. And so it took me about 6 months to kind of formulate my thoughts and put it all together. But then I went and wrote this song, and it's specifically about that fight. And I mean, I even referenced, you know, that we were playing The Gambler. You know, a gambler knows. Oh, I can't remember the line. anyways, you got to read between the lines. That's what the line was.
Cool.
Because it was funny because the fight started. I saw this out of the corner of my eye. I saw there was a look between two of the cowboys, and one of them takes his hat off and puts it on the table.
Uh-oh.
And then jumps over the table, and that's when it starts. And I'm like, it's only that unwritten communication between two friends that goes, okay, go time.
Hats off. And
so it's just like small town like rodeo dance fight that the band still remembers to this day, and we needed to tell the story of it. So that's Wild Horse Rider, but we love playing that song and having people sing along to that.
I absolutely love it. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Wild Horse Rider by country artist Quentin Blair here on Music's Journey.
Music's Journey.
met him on the road one night in a sleepy rodeo town. One hot July summer night, when I was just hanging around. We started swapping stories, not really sure which one's the truth. Horse racing at the frontier days, or the plates he wore in his boots. As the campout grows, the fire pit knows there's a Mustang on the loose. Wild horse rider, one jump ahead of the rest. Two broken legs, ice in his veins, and a heart beating strong in his chest. Wild horse rider, from Cheyenne to Calgary. No, he won't tame down, always be around, long as Mustang still run free. Wild Jimmy are telling lies, with some long-haired hippie causing trouble who couldn't see the wild in his eyes. Out of a lesson book, the gambler shows only what he wants you to see. But your friends can read between the lines of that old melody. With a flash and a look and a hard ride, but fists were flying through the air. That one horse town saw you tear it right down as you relived your younger years. Wild horse rider, one jump ahead of the rest. Two broken legs, ice in his veins, and a heart beating strong in his chest. Wild horse rider, from Cheyenne to Calgary. Mustang still run free. Wild horse rider. He's still out on the road, riding a Hancock just for fun. Well, his horse racing days are over now, but the cow milking's just begun. And sometimes over a fire at night, I could see him look to the west. Well, then Kenny leans over and says, just forget it, boy. With the thrill, you love the best. Wild horse rider, one jump ahead of the rest. Two broken legs, ice in his veins, and a heart beating strong in his chest. Wild horse rider.
That was Wild Horse Rider by country artist Quentin Blair, and you can picture the story with every single word. I love this song. One of my favorites. Really cool song. Don't forget you can download Wild Horse Rider on all streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and request it at your local country radio station. Such a cool, cool song. Who is the one artist that you would love to write with and go on stage with? Not just write with, but go on stage with and perform. Maybe one of your heroes, past or present?
I've always been a huge fan of Charlie Major.
Mm.
And I think he's a fantastic writer. I think he's just, you know, as a kid growing up, like we said, listening to that 90s country, like, drives you out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that song was, It Can't Happen to Me, man. I remember where I was hearing those kinds of songs, right? And so I got to play with Charlie on a couple occasions, and it was kind of one of those like a moment that just kind of like stamped or solidified that, you know, I knew I was doing something right. So we were playing in Regina, and I was, you know, sound checking at Casino Regina, empty room, just me and my guitar, and I was playing a song I wrote called 300,000 Kilometers, and that song is like just another great story song that I just love to play. That song means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And so I played that at sound check, and then there's this guy walking from behind the curtain, slow clap, walks on stage, and he goes, "Wow, that was a well-written song."
Nice.
Thanks for. And then it's Charlie Major. I'm like, holy cow, man, like, what an honor to. I didn't know you were there, number one, and number two, like, just, you know, I've been a fan of yours for as long as I can remember, and thanks for having me on these couple of shows with you here. So
nice.
Just, Charlie's a huge inspiration of mine. I think beyond, I'm such a fan of artists in general. Like, you know, if you know, we're talking about Michelle Ryder, like, yeah, of course I'd love to write and perform with Michelle Ryder. You know, Coulter Wall would be a great one, or, you know, I don't. I've gotten to step on stage with George Canyon before, or Jason McCoy.
So
like,
yeah.
there's so many. Just like the country music community, is for the most part, I find to be welcoming and collaborative, mm-hmm. right? And just if the right series of, I mean, obviously, you know, Michelle's not going to answer a Facebook request to write songs together, but, you know, in the right moment where, you know, you're introduced or you've got mutual friends or the situation, of course, that would probably be something that happens. So
you brought up Jason McCoy. You were writing with him as well, right?
I was, yeah.
Tell us about that.
I can't wait for that one. That one's that's a song that Pete's working on as we speak, and it is Jason, he's a dad with a horse daughter, and I'm dad with
right.
horse daughter.
You two would just be like a pair. Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And Jason's always been so great to me. We've worked together on a number of different occasions, and he's always that, like, we'll see him at CCMA's walking down the road, and he'll always be going out of his way to say hi and stop and chat. Hey, how are you doing? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I've always respected that about him, because he never had to do that to me, mm-hmm. right? That would have been 7 years ago, and then so we just kind of developed this friendship by seeing each other at events. And then we were at the Country Music Awards, the Manitoba Country Music Awards, a couple of years back, talking about our daughters who ride horses and all that kind of stuff, and we're like, we should write a song about our daughters or what it's like being a horse dad. And so we set up the call, and then I had this one line that was like, someday Sunday, and it's like, you know, that time when it's like, yeah, I'm gonna do that one day. I'll do that. I'm going to do that sometime. And it's like going out of your way, making time to have that happen. So this Sunday, this is going to be the day that we're going to go fishing, or this is the day that I'm going to go out of my way and make time for that. Mm-hmm. So that's writing
cool.
with Jay. And he's one of my favorite human beings in the country music industry.
He is,
and
so
just,
fun.
Such a great guy to write with. Same as Jason Blaine, right? Like, it sounds like he's written 10,000 songs because he's written 10,000 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much fun to be a part of it. And then hearing him sing the demo, and then I'll sing the demo, and it's like two different takes of the exact same song. And I'm just like, man,
that's the lyrics.
You know, but even 10,000 Teardrops or Born Again in Dixieland, like, I've been a Jason McCoy fan for a long time. We thought we could fix anything. And, you know, like, I remember back before streaming services were available, I would go to the library when I was, you know, university aged, and I would take CDs out from the library, and I would go and take Jason McCoy CDs out from the library. So I don't know what that says about me, but that's where I got some music before I could stream music. So.
Oh, I'm telling you, well, they are entertainment plus. That's all I can say. Their shows are incredible. He's an incredible writer and works with so many of the artists. You've got some shows coming up?
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very busy summer for us. We love doing rodeo dances, so we're going to be at Hanover Ag Fair, which is in Grunthal, Manitoba, or two nights at the Morris Stampede, which is like, it's kind of like Manitoba's version of the Calgary Stampede. So we're going to play the evening show there on two nights. And of course, then speaking of the Roadhammers, I'm going to get to play with the Roadhammers August the 20th, I believe it is, at the Hanover Ag Fair. So, I mean, and then we're all over Saskatchewan. We're going to be in Alberta in the fall time. And, you know, we do cover a lot of miles, but looking forward to, number one, playing with my daughter, and number two, I guess, playing with Jason and Clayton and Chris and the Roadhammers. So.
Is it going to be at the same time as the singles coming out?
Not sure yet. I mean, I think we're kind of waiting to see what happens with $20 and then kind of plan our release accordingly. But That being said, I certainly wouldn't have a problem, you know, maybe debuting that song or singing it with Jay that night.
I don't know if you do that or not, but
it's something that's been kind of rolling through my mind a bit here. So
very, very cool. Well, promise you're going to come back on the show when
I
you guys
be there in a
that.
Heartbeat.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Nice.
And then you got to promise to come and ride too. That's the trade-off.
I will do it.
Sounds good.
In a heartbeat. I want to camp under the stars, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Yay.
I can't promise nice weather, but I can promise the camping for sure.
That's true. That is true. Oh, I look forward to that. It'll be so awesome. Do you have time for just a few burning questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I know we got to wrap up here. So favorite childhood memory growing up?
We spent a lot of time traveling to the mountains. I had an uncle and aunt who lived in Cranbrook, and then I had an uncle and aunt who lived in Calgary. So we'd go to Calgary for the Stampede, and then we'd go on to the Kootenays into Cranbrook, BC, and we'd go fly fishing, and definitely fly fishing in the mountains with my uncle. He's the one who showed me Neil Young and introduced me to Lyle Lovett and John Hiatt, and showed me so much about, you know, really great kind of roots music as we were driving to these fishing spots way up in the mountains. So
beautiful memory.
I always thought that I'd end up moving to BC, and it never happened, and I'm okay with that. I'm happy with where I am, but I always thought that I would be an outdoorsman in BC.
Very cool. Okay, really, really cool question that I just came up with. If you could take your daughter horseback, being able to camp under the stars anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
The Yukon, probably.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I'd go to the Yukon. I got some friends who do some guiding and outfitting up there, and they keep on, you know, inviting me out to come and just even help them. Or, if you want to come guide for us, you can. But it's just it's not a family style of job, right, to go for the summertime or for the fall time and go in and be a part of that as much as I would love to do it. But they do always call me and say, hey, like, we're going to take the herd out on these days.
I'll go.
Yeah, and it's a 7-day trail ride to get there. But it's crazy because there's always a show on that. Like, whenever you go to the Yukon, you have to leave 3 or 4 days on the front end and on the back end of your trip, because if it's foggy, they just don't fly the planes. So you never, it's like a solid, 15-day commitment if you're going to go and do it. And I've always just got work to do, right? Like, I've always got shows that are coming up.
Tell them, give my number.
But then it's funny, because last year I messaged and I said, well, how's it going? And she's like, well, the trail cutting crew is 3 days in front of the herd, and they're running out of food, and the herd took a wrong turn down the wrong canyon.
Oh, Lord.
And they're, it's real, yeah. Right? It's real when you're out there, and survival everyone made it out just fine. They just had to bring in some ATVs to make sure everybody got through safe. But it's like, crazy. Yeah, that's pretty crazy running out of food in the Yukon as winter's coming in.
Wow. Pretty, pretty cool. That would be such an experience. Okay. If you could freeze life, we've got like a couple minutes here. If you could freeze life, just one moment, what would it be?
Back to the woods and my daughter. And there's a moment where we were camping. It was last year, and I saw her. We're driving out of the field, and there's these big hills that you got to go down. So she's running alongside the truck, and I'm just kind of like slowly going down these hills. But the way that the sun is catching off of her hair, and she's running in the field with her dogs, and she just kind of turns back and looks at me driving the truck, and it's like you're frozen in time in that moment.
So
you're going,
cool.
I'm never gonna forget that look on your face.
That's awesome.
Just sheer joy running with your dogs, and we're coming out of the woods after a 4-day camping trip together. Like, it's
nice.
Just the best.
Very, very nice. Okay, last question. Okay, what is your most useless talent?
I don't even know how to answer that question. Not to say that everything I do is worthwhile. I'm sure I've got more than my fair share of those. I don't even know what direction to go. Wow, you stumped me. Yeah, you stumped me on that one. I will ask my daughter, and she'll tell me.
Okay, so then you're going to send it to me so I can actually put that in the article. So I'm holding you to it. I'm not going to let you get away with not answering
that
one.
All right.
Well, it was great to have you on the show and get to know you. This is the first time for me being able to talk to you, but I look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much. I had an absolute blast.
Well, this song is killer, and I just cannot wait to see what you're coming up with next.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, Quentin Blair, for coming on the show. I've got some amazing artists that I'm going to be interviewing the month of July. I'm going to be chatting with Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Rob Fitzgerald, High Valley, rock band Taming Sorry, Matt Rogers, Josh Bogart, Petrick, Kelly Prescott, Australian country artist Haley Jensen. We also have Australia trio, the Buckleys, that are going to be coming on the show, Cadence from Runaway Angel, The Prairie State, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Ali Walker, Simone Fuller, Tyler Joe Miller, Dustin Bird, Kadu, and so many more. It's going to be great. I'm telling you, we've got some great shows. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.